The Supreme Person is not impersonal and therefore is distinctive, a nara or person. Therefore, the transcendental water created from the Supreme Nara is known as Nara. And because he lies down on that water, he is known as Narayana. Verse 12, translation. One should definitely know that all material ingredients, activities, time and modes, and living entities who are meant to be enjoyed by them, exist only by his mercy only, and as soon as he does not care for them, everything becomes non-existent. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktisiddhanta Srila Prabhupada, founder of Acharya of ISKCON. The living entities are the enjoyers of the material ingredients, time, modes, etc., because they want to lord it over the material nature. The Lord is the supreme enjoyer, and the living entities are meant to assist the Lord in his enjoyment and thus participate in the transcendental enjoyment of everyone. The enjoyer and the enjoyed both participate in enjoyment, but deluded by the illusion energy, the living entities want to become the enjoyer, like the Lord, although they are not meant for such enjoyment. The jivas, the living entities, are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as the Lord's superior nature, or para prakriti, and also it is mentioned in the Vishnu Purana. Therefore, the living entities are never the Purushas or factual enjoyers. As such, the spirit of enjoyment by living entity in the material world is false. In the spiritual world, the living entities are pure in nature, and therefore they are associates in the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord. In the material world, the spiritual enjoyment of the living entities, by dint of their own actions, karma, gradually fades by the laws of nature, and thus the illusionary energy dictates in the ears of the conditioned souls, so they should become one with the Lord. This is the last snare of the illusion energy. When the last illusion is also cleared off by the mercy of the Lord, the living entity again becomes reinstated in its original position, and thus becomes actually liberated. For this attainment of liberation from the material clutches, the Lord creates the material world, maintains it for some time, 1,000 years of his measurement, as stated in the previous verse, and then again annihilates it by his will. The living entities are therefore completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord, and all their so-called enjoyments by scientific improvement are crushed into dust when the Lord desires. First of all, obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya of ISKCON. Obeisances to my Diksha Guru, Bhakti Sri Maharaj, my Shiksha Guru, and obeisances to all and all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and my obeisances to all the assembled devotees here. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada has written down that the living entities, that the Lord, the supreme enjoyer and the living entities are meant to assist the Lord in his enjoyment, and thus by degrading in transcendental enjoyment of everyone. So, as spirit souls, we have this minute independence. And this minute independence, as I was hearing recently, I've just come back from New Mayapur in France and listening to a class by Gogo Vinda Maharaj, and he's explaining this minute independence is actually, he's saying that this minute independence is like an invaluable gem. Because this minute independence can take us to Krishna, it can take us to the spiritual world, it can take us to the material world. And then, a few weeks previously, I was on every Saturday, my Shiksha Guru, based in India, he was asked on his Zoom class, he was asked the same question. He was asked the question, what does it mean? Because he's a disciple of Gaura Vinda Maharaj, so he was asked the question, what does it mean that what is this minute independence is an invaluable gem or jewel? And his reply was that when the devotee who is coming for taking initiation from the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, he surrenders his independence. But once he surrenders that independence, that spiritual master gives that minute independence back so he can serve Krishna without, in love, not forced. So, because the living entity is meant to serve the Lord, serve Krishna in love, in a loving transcendental relationship, not a forced relationship, not in a relationship that is, we're forced to do this, we're forced to do that. It's based on transcendental love, and this is why it says here, are meant to assist the Lord in his enjoyment and thus participate in the transcendental engagement of everyone. Because this, this is a matter of reciprocation between the Lord and the living entity. So when one surrenders his or their minute independence, they will give up the enjoying spirit, the material enjoying spirit, and then they will serve the Lord, serve Krishna in a loving relationship where they will just surrender, and the Lord, and then Krishna reciprocates with the with the living entity who has surrendered to him. He gets pleasure, Krishna gets pleasure, and the living entity gets pleasure. So both reciprocate with each other. As it says in the Bhagavad Gita, according to one surrender, I reciprocate with them. So when the living entity uses his new independence rightly, and then when the material enjoyment is nil, is finished, then one can start to serve Krishna in love, and then Krishna reciprocates back. Then Krishna reciprocates with that living entity in love as well. So the love is increasing all the time. And it says in the Bhagavad Gita, it says in the purport here, that in the spiritual world, the living entities are pure in nature, and therefore they're associates of the enjoyment of the Lord. Yes, in the spiritual world, every living entity is pure in nature. But when we come into this material world, even that there's a we as soon as we come in this material world, that the nature is to enjoy, and this is mentioned as soon in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto. It's mentioned in the that in the isn't sorry the fifth canto, the forest of the material enjoyment. It's a section in the fifth canto, the first, second chapter or third chapter, the forest of enjoyment. As soon as we come in this material world, we enter a big forest of material enjoyment. And therefore, the only way to come out of this forest and come into the light, like I can't remember. Some years ago, when I first went to New Mayapur in France, the land they have is bigger than Bhagavatam, about three quarters of his forest. And one day I went for a japa walk, and I wandered off the path, and the forest was dark. It's real dark for even though it was daylight. And eventually I got out, and from that I got a realization, yes. And when I got out that dark forest, I remembered that section of the Bhagavatam, where the forest of how this dark forest of material enjoyment stops us from serving Krishna in love. And therefore, to serve Krishna with love, we have to surrender. But the question is, who do we surrender to? Now, at the same time, they said this week also, last week in France, I heard so many different classes from different speakers, one of them from again was from Gogovinda Maharaj, where he said, first of all, we have to become Krishna Das. Sorry. We have to become Guru Das before we become Krishna Das. So if we want to serve Krishna, we have to serve the spiritual master. And by his mercy, he will give us Krishna. So therefore, what it says at the end of this purport, the living entities are therefore completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And the mercy of the Lord comes by the mercy of the spiritual master. And therefore the spiritual master is very merciful. He destroys all our material in according to the surrender of that individual, the material enjoying spirit decreases, and the serving loving mood increases. So therefore, we have to depend on the mercy of the Lord through the mercy of the spiritual master. Just like Srila Prabhupada, because I was talking in New Mayapur, I was talking to what's his name? Prabhupada disciple there. And he was saying that when he was serving Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada said to him, I am here by the mercy of my spiritual master. But Bhaktivedanta Swati Thakur, this is what Prabhupada said to him. So from that you could understand that Srila Prabhupada is also depending on the mercy of his spiritual master as well. And then this Prabhupada disciple was describing how Srila Prabhupada said, this is the mood between the spiritual master and the disciple, that the disciple should be totally dependent on the mercy of the spiritual master, and therefore this is the whole the knowledge coming down through the guru, the guru parampara, is the mercy continually coming down. It's just like in the spiritual world, Krishna is lowering down a creeper into the material, into the well of material, the well of the material world. And the spiritual master is on the top of the well, looking down. And the creeper is handed to the spiritual master, and the spiritual master lowers the creeper of mercy down to the well. So in the well is the living entity who is drowning in this material nature. And the living entity, is suffering. He's saying, "Help, I need to get out of this material world." And the spiritual master is saying, "Okay, no problem. Just hold on to the creeper. Just hold on to it. Nothing else. Just hold on and never let go." So then the spiritual master brings up the creeper from the well, and the living entity is taken out of the well of material existence. So therefore, to get out of this material world of material enjoyment, which is cause of our suffering, because suffering actually comes, the cause of our suffering is we want to lord it over the material, we want to lord it over the material energy. But Maya is so powerful, we cannot defend her, we cannot defeat her. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, we cannot defend. And the only way to get away from this illusory energy is, because this illusory energy is one of Krishna's potencies. And these potencies are inconceivable and powerful. So the only way to get out of this illusory energy is to surrender to Krishna. And to Krishna, so to surrender to Krishna, we have to go through the proper source. We cannot surrender to Krishna directly. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, we read, "Sarvadharma Bhidraja, Mam Mikam Savam Bhidraja, Hamasam the Plebhya Mokshajaya." So we read that Krishna is saying to Arjuna, "Surrender unto me." But we have to understand that Arjuna is surrendering as a shishya, surrendering as a disciple. Because Krishna says, because Arjuna says, in the second, it's in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is surrendering to Krishna as a shishya, as a disciple. So that's the context of that verse. You know, Krishna is saying, "Surrender unto me as a disciple." And because Arjuna is perplexed at what to do, he said, "I am perplexed what to do. Please tell me what to do. I am completely surrendered to you. I am your shishya. I am your disciple. Please tell me what to do." So from that point onwards, Krishna is instructing Arjuna as a disciple, not as a friend, as previously as he was when they were in Dwarka and with his brothers and so on like that. But he was surrendering himself as a disciple, and Krishna was his spiritual master. So therefore, we have to, if we want to give up this material enjoyment, we have to surrender to the Guru, spiritual master. Spiritual master will give us Krishna, and then we can engage in loving devotional service with no material considerations, just for the pleasure of serving. So I'll finish there, but apparently, as it says on there, plus speak on this Neel Jal Ekadashi. So this Neel Jal Ekadashi, the Bhima Ekadashi. Now, someone said to me a few weeks ago, this is the big Ekadashi. And immediately I didn't say, I'm not going to say who it is. And I was thinking, all Ekadashi, you know, all Ekadashis are big. Just because it's Neel Jal Ekadashi, we have to fast, you know, do Neel Jal. It's basically because Bhima couldn't follow Ekadashi. Couldn't follow, because as you know what, Bhima was a ferocious eater. But then Krishna said, okay, you can just do one Ekadashi, and that will rectify the other ones you didn't do. So it's only if you, as it was announced this morning, if one has broken the Ekadashi, now this one will rectify the effects of ones you've broken. So some years ago, I was in Vrindavan, and it was Neel Jal Ekadashi, and there was this. There was one spiritual master there. And this spiritual master was taking Ekadashi Bishadam. And then he had one disciple who was doing Neel Jal. And the spiritual master said, to his this disciple, you're doing Neel Jal Ekadashi? He said, yes. He said, why are you doing it for? Because, so many people said you have to do it. It's the biggest, big Ekadashi to do. He said, yes, I can see. You're doing it, but you're suffering. Because the purpose of a Ekadashi is to think of Krishna. And because you're doing it, because you've been told to do it, and you're feeling hungry now, so your mind is not on Krishna, your mind is on your stomach. So it's better to take a Ekadashi Bishadam and think of Krishna. So then that disciple, he got some Ekadashi Bishadam, and so it's not, if one can do it, one can do it. But also, I remember one class by, I think it's Ayendripabu. No, it wasn't Ayendra, but it was Mukunda Datta in Vrindavan. He was saying that he was saying the same thing. The purpose of Ekadashi is to finger Krishna. And so if you just take some Kaji Bishadam, and also Ayindra Prabhu, he said, we see many devotees who are not doing, who are taking Akadashi Bishadam on Akadashi. And some people may be thinking, some devotees may be thinking, who are doing Akadashi. No, taking no water and food. That, look at me, I'm doing Akadashi. But then Indra said, those devotees who are taking water and Akadashi Bishadam, in previous life, they may have done so many austere, they've performed so much austerities that they don't have to, in previous life, that they followed the Kardashis in their previous life. So therefore they may not have to follow in this lifetime. So I'll finish there. So any questions I will try to answer. Try to, anyway, because I'm just an old man, just ready to die. That's it. Any questions or comments or? Yes, Ruben.
Thank you. Very nice class, Prabhu. You were talking about this analogy of Krishna holding a creeper, and then the Guru's holding a creeper in the well of material existence. And what exactly is that creeper, practically?
Mercy.
That mercy, and how does that manifest when the spiritual master's giving his mercy? What does that creeper represent?
The mercy is to take us out of the well is the material world. So he's given us the mercy to come out of, to take us back to the spiritual world. And the mercy is, the mercy represents how to, like in Damodar Leela. Because this life is meant, because Krishna, we know the Damodar Leela, the two fingers. So Mother Yashoda tried to bind up Krishna. So in our life is also meant to bind up Krishna. So they're two fingers short, endeavor and mercy. And Mother Yashoda exhausted all the ropes in Vrindavan, all the ropes. So one devotee I was talking to in New Mayapur, also I mentioned this. So Mother Yashoda exhausted all the ropes. Then one gopi gave her Radharani's hairband. And then Mother Yashoda tied that hairband, which is a piece of rope, ribbon or something. And that bound up Krishna. So the mercy is actually the mercy of Radharani, means basically. So, and then Krishna was bound up. So we're getting the mercy means. This is why we say, when we, greet the deities, we say Radharadi's name first. We get her mercy. And the other day, last time I was dressing, morning dressing, is a Srila Prabhupada lecture, as we hear. And Prabhupada was talking on, speaking about, it was a Radhastami lecture. And Srila Prabhupada, he mentions how Radharani is a Sarup Shakti and that. But he also said that when Radharani recommends you, then Krishna accepts you. When Radharani says to Krishna, look, there's a jiva soul who wants to serve you. When Radharani says, dear Rubin, dear Krishna, there's a jiva soul called Rubin, he wants to serve you. And because Radharani has recommended you, then Krishna accepts you. So Radharani is the mercy factor. Okay, I'm sorry, Dimbra, your name, but you asked the question. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You said in the beginning, the spiritual master gives the independence back to the disciple.
Yeah, to serve, how to serve properly. No, because Krishna, he doesn't want robots. He doesn't want robots. No, he wants the living entities who want to love servingly. So that depends on our independence, and if it's used properly, it can take us to Krishna. But if it's misused, it will take us to Maya. And the only choice we have in this world is to serve Krishna or serve Maya. This is the only choice we have. Krishna doesn't want zombies and robots. He wants loving devotional service. Just like I know you at home have got deities. I know who you're serving. You're doing it because because you love them. You love them, and you're loving. You're doing it out of love for them. So, if you didn't do that, you'll be in Maya. So you're using your independence properly. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Gantaraj, Prabhupada Tom Ki Jai.